the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael Eric Cannon. And my co-hosts on today are historian, Minister Ryan Fountain, and Minister David Clifton. And good for us to be here. We thank God we're here, that we're able to give unto you the word of life. And like we always say, that the Bible is truth when it's rightly divided. And my food for thought on today will be in Nehemiah, the 8th chapter, and the 8th verse. And it reads as, so they read in the book of the law, in the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense, and caused them to understand the reading. That's one of the most important scriptures in the Bible. You have to give the sense of the word. You can use a scripture, especially like people use the scripture maybe out of the Old Testament to give take a thought out of, but you got to give the sense of the word so you don't do violence to the scripture. That's why the scripture says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that's 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. So here, and Nehemiah, which is Tirshatha, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So there's nothing like getting understanding from the word of the Lord.
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. My food for thought is actually going to come from the book of Psalms, the 27th Psalm. This is actually a psalm that the pastor taught on last week, and it's stuck with me, so I'd like to share it with you all. Psalms 27 and 4 says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. There's a lot of things that we're seeking after or that we desire in the land today. And if I could just encourage you and reassure you and let you know that all the things not pertaining to the world but pertaining spiritually, all the things that you need are in the house of the Lord. So out of all the things that you are desiring after, as David said, the one thing that I have desired of the Lord, and that one thing that I will seek after is to simply dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Amen.
Amen. Going right along with that, my food for thought is coming out of Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, very first verse. It says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Very simply, you need to remember God now. You need to serve God in this day, because life is too fragile. I believe James said life is as a vapor that fadeth away. It goes that quickly. Your very next breath could be your very last breath. And you should need to remember your Creator in this day. There's many things out in the world that you find pleasure in now, but there will come a day when there will be no pleasure in those things, and you have nothing. But you need to remember God now, He says, ending off that chapter, he says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. That's how we serve God. And he says that is our whole duty as a man, is to serve God, is to fear God and to keep his commandments.
Amen. And also, I can just throw in with that what Job said in Job 28 and 28.
Mm-hmm.
And to man he saith, behold, the fear of the Lord is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding.
Yes.
So sometimes people wonder, like, oh, man, he done start going to church? He done start serving the Lord? Yeah, he got a call from God. He woke up. He realized that he need to serve God. Because
yes.
Nobody's going to get out of here. People just think they're going to take care of whatever they've done in their lifetime. When they get before God, they're going to talk their way out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not going to be like that. But we know that the Bible is saying that even us that are saved, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of the Lord.
Yes.
And if it begin on us, what's the end of them who obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, Peter goes on to say, where shall the sinner and ungodly appear?
Uh-huh.
So we thank God for his word. He, like James says, his engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. So we're moving on here in the book of Acts. We've been going through for the last number of weeks, and we can when the church started off on the day of Pentecost, there are people from every nation under heaven there on the day of Pentecost. And we moved on. The Samaritans also received the word of the Lord. And so, and then last week we talked about the apostle to the Gentiles was none other than the man Saul, who the Lord saved and called him the apostle, dropped the S from his name and added a P, and we call him the apostle Paul, who wrote the Pauline epistles, and he's the apostle to the Gentiles. And then, so today we're going to end up in the book of the Acts of the Apostles in the 10th chapter, when salvation is going to be given to the Gentiles. We're going to see how it's been initiated. Like we've been saying all along, even as we said when we were teaching on the Godhead about God being a God of order. And so they couldn't, and then they had to wait for the man, even in Samaria, they had to wait for Peter and John to get there to lay hands on them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. So we're going to see here as Peter had to be the man to open the doors of the church to the Gentiles. So we're going to try to take our time as we go through here. We'll read a couple of verses. We're going to let our historian expound on this. We're going to just let the Lord lead us. But the point being is we're going to see about the baptism, like we've been talking about the Lord, that there's one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. And that one baptism is water and spirit. Just like Jesus said, except a man be born of water, he didn't say the water, but he said, except a man be born of water and the Spirit. So we know the scripture says, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty.
Yes.
So you can be baptized, and people can have been, we have baptized people in the prison system because there was water there. So you can baptize someone in a bathtub. But the whole point being, you got to be immersed or you have to be buried in water. And that is only one name that you call on when you do that, and that is the name of Jesus. So we're going to move on here in the book of Acts, the 10th chapter. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band. A devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision evidently about the ninth hour of the day an angel of God coming in to him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And I want to stop right there, because many times, even in the Old Testament, when an angel appeared unto someone, it was actually the Lord himself.
Yes. Oh, amen. That's a very good point, that the Lord actually does appeared unto him, and is the angel of the Lord appearing unto Cornelius. But I want to talk about the character of Cornelius, and I think these five verses, or these four verses, show a lot about how this man was. Elder Cannon talked about order. This man was a man of order because he was a centurion. If you recall in the Gospels, Jesus spoke with a centurion, asking for healing of his daughter.
That's right.
And Jesus was going to go into this man's house, but this man said, no, I'm a man with men under me, and I know order. And if you just speak a word, I know that your word shall pass. Correct?
Amen.
My servant will be healed.
My servant will be healed.
Yeah.
And Jesus told him, he said, I found no such great faith in all of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
So this man was a man, and God recognized, or Jesus recognizes man's order,
yeah,
and recognizes man's recognition of order and respect of order. So we know that Cornelius was a man of order because he was a centurion in Rome. You couldn't be a leader in the Roman army without knowing order and knowing rank and knowing all those different things. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
And it said that he was a devout man and one that feared God with all his house. And he prayed to God always. And there's a lot of us today that are saved, baptized, and filled with the Holy Ghost that don't pray always.
Mm-hmm.
This man didn't have any of those things and was praying always. And he gave much alms to the people, but yet there was still something that this man needed. So you can have as good a heart as Cornelius. Cornelius had a very good heart. You can see it right in his character.
Yeah.
But he still needed more.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And if I could add on to that, and it's not mentioned, but we could almost assume that this man had no sin, as we say in this day, in his life. Meaning he was a devout man, which means that he was pious or very
yes.
religious
right. yes.
in the things that he did. Also, he gave much alms, which means that he gave food or money to the poor or to the needy. So he's doing a lot of things that everyone that professes Christianity is doing nowadays. Amen. And he all prayed always. Another thing that we see, it says that he feared God.
Mm-hmm.
And understanding that this fear is not being afraid of God, but it's dealing with reverence
yes.
to God. So he had some understanding of God to where he gave reverence to him. He knew that there were certain things that he should and should not do, and he done those things. Now, my point is, if you are this type of person where you don't commit any sins as you know it, you know, murder or adultery or fornication, you know, you're not a person that swears all the time, you're not a drunkard or, you know, a drug abuser or any of those type of things, that is good in what you do. You know, you may go to church every Sunday. You may give to the needy. You may pay your tithes. You may give your offerings. But as we'll see, all that is good, but there's still something else that Cornelius had to do. And I will say to you all, if you are this type of person, at the end of the chapter, we'll find out that all that Cornelius did, there was still something missing from his life. And we'll go on to find out what that was. Amen?
Yes, I want to fast forward a little bit just to make a point. In the 18th chapter of Acts, there was a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently
mm-hmm,
the
yeah.
things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John.
Because
yeah. we got to realize that this was the point from law, in between the law and grace.
Mm-hmm.
Like the scripture says, that the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So there's more that the Lord came to do, just like the Bible was talking about all of those things that they've done that could never take away sin, the blood of goats and heifers and all this. But this man appeared in the presence of God to put away sin by the sacrifice himself.
Yes.
So it's by the body of the offering of the body of Jesus Christ to put away our sin.
And to add on with that, I'm sure we'll discuss it later on down the line, but this man was a just man. Apollos was a just preacher. He was preaching good things. He was preaching righteousness through God, only knowing that baptism.
Yeah.
But yet, he still needed something more.
Yeah.
Aquila and Priscilla had to pull him aside and teach him a more perfect way.
Yeah.
So, and all his righteousness and all the good that he did, he still needed more.
Yeah.
So there's always more that you can get with God.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. So we can.
So that's a good point, because God wasn't condemning what they'd done or what they had.
No. Yeah.
You know, and just like Apollos, he was correct all the way up until what he got to.
Yeah.
To the baptism of John, he was definitely correct in what he was doing. So also was Cornelius. That's why the Bible says in Psalm 37:37, "Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace."
Yeah.
Somebody said that man don't necessarily have to be Jesus Christ, because there's people that the Lord said, and even Job, God said that he was perfect. He was a perfect and upright man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you know, being perfect is being mature.
Yeah.
So God taking us. So that's why the Bible says, as it is written of us, says, the just shall live by faith.
Mm-hmm.
We know in the book of Habakkuk says, the just shall live by his faith.
Mm-hmm.
So we're walking from faith to faith. And that's why the writer said, Apostle Paul was writing to the church, 2 Corinthians letter that he wrote, he says, for we walk by faith, not by sight.
Amen.
So we got to have something to walk on.
And in Ephesians, he says that the ministry is here for our perfection, and for perfection and unity, that till we come into that perfect unity. Amen.
Yeah.
So that is just another scripture that you can look at. It's Ephesians 4 and I believe 12 or 13.
Yeah, the 11th chapter.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he gave some apostles and some prophets.
Yeah.
Some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. The pastor is the teacher for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into unity of the faith. Unto the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man.
Yeah.
Mature.
Yeah.
To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we be no more children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, and by the sleight of men whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but grow up in him.
Amen.
Who is all things, even ahead, you know, even Christ. So that means mature. We want to mature. So this man was a man that was a mature man, because ain't no sense of saying, people be saying, I've worked with people. Said, I treat everybody right, I do this. But that it ain't that I. But God has more for you.
Yes.
And that's what people got to realize. I mean, even when you're eating, you ain't arguing with somebody, or try this, try that. You eating it.
Yeah.
So that's what we got to do. We got to eat the word. We got to eat the whole roll.
Talking good.
Yes. Yes. So the fifth verse here, and now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter, or his last name. He is lodged with one Simon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. When the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, and this is something. Lord, send me an angel.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a word from the Lord. And see, God is a God of order. So, what a man. God could testify about him. And so, when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. When he had declared all those things unto them, he departed. He sent them to Joppa. What a man.
Mm-hmm.
People waiting on him continually. And some folks got the big head.
Yeah.
Do this. Bring me that. Bring me some water. They got the big head. This was a meek and a humble man,
mm-hmm.
because he considered himself. So what a blessing, this kind of gentleman he was. But the Bible says when the Lord was choosing a king among the sons of Jesse, that prophet Samuel looked at all the sons and said, you got to have another one. But the saying goes on, says that man looks on the outward appearance, but the scripture says that God looks on the heart in that scripture. So the Lord knows, as we would say nowadays, what's in our heart. So that's why we got to keep our heart, as the proverbial writer says, with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So what a testimony. The Lord saw this man's heart, and he was going to do, he definitely was bringing salvation to him. And we know, just like John the Baptist's father had saw the Lord's salvation, he said, now let thy servant die. So we got to know what we're seeing. We better believe. See, God is so faithful, he's going to give you what you need.
Yeah.
So it's in Jesus, and it's in the word of the Lord.
Amen. And once again, we see that the angel did not give him the word.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about this earlier with Paul in the ninth chapter. The angel did not give Paul the word. The light did not give Paul the word. He had to send for a man.
Yes.
And in the same instance, the angel had to send for a man. The gospel is not carried by angels.
Right.
Amen.
Right. Galatians, the
Galatians
first chapter
tells us that let
about the gospel in the first chapter of Acts. He was saying about them being so soon removed unto a gospel, unto another gospel, which is not another. Apostle Paul was letting the church at Galatia know, and then so he goes on to say, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another.
Yeah.
There be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ.
Yeah,
but he goes on to say, though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than you have received, let him be accursed.
And let me put with that scripture, 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, when he says, in the 12th verse, he says, but what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we.
Yeah.
For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light.
Mm-hmm.
Angel of light.
Yeah.
Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, who end shall be according to their work. So angels do not carry the gospel, because Satan is still an angel. He can transform himself into an angel of light and make something sound very good, but it's very devilish and very sensual, and the end of it is destruction and death. So we cannot trust the word of angels over the gospel or the word of God. Amen?
Yes.
So, go ahead.
Yes, and then just like he said, to reemphasize that point again, we're not condemning the angel. We're just saying the angel is telling them to send for a man.
Yes.
So Apostle Paul was making a point. He said, though we are an angel from heaven.
Yes.
What a declaration he's making. He said an angel. So not even an angel from heaven is going to come and preach another gospel.
Yeah, yeah.
Is the point that he's making.
Amen. You want to move on?
Okay. So, I believe verse 8. Yeah. And when he had declared all those things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. And on the morrow, as they went on their journey, they drew nigh unto the city. Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven open and a certain vessel descending unto him as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. There came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, well, God has cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done thrice or three times, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now while Peter doubted in himself what the vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate and called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, surnamed Peter, was lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. And make no mistake about it. The Spirit of God. We always like to say, the Spirit of God. That's God, the Spirit. And we'll see you on as we go on here, because people try to make a big deal out of that. Rise therefore, get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius, and behold, and said, behold, I am he whom you seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come? They said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, one that feared God, and of a good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by an angel, a holy angel, to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee. Talking about Peter. Then called he them in and lodged them. And on the morrow, Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him.
Okay. I just want to, let's talk about this vision that Peter had for I think it's interesting to note that Peter had to receive this vision three times before he actually received it, and still at that time was still doubting.
Yes.
Cornelius didn't. He had one vision and went along and went off and sent for a man. He believed what was told to him, but Peter actually had a hard time grasping onto this because of the doctrine that was so ingrained within the Jews that they could not eat anything or touch anything unclean, and we have to talk about what is unclean.
Right, and just let me go ahead and jump right into it. Leviticus chapter number 11, it deals with the animal, so you have to understand that Peter was a Jew, so he had the mind of a Jew.
Yeah.
So God dealt with him in this vision with the unclean animals for a reason, and we'll understand that God was showing him that the Gentiles would now be accepted into the sheepfold, but understand why Peter said he would never touch anything common or unclean. In the 11th chapter of Leviticus, it goes on to say, nevertheless, these shall not eat of them that chew the cud, or of them that divide the hoof, as the camel, because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof. He is unclean unto you.
Mm-hmm.
And the coney, because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof, he is unclean unto you. And the hare, because of the chewing of the cud, but divideth not the hoof, he is unclean unto you. And the swine, though he divideth the hoof and be cloven-footed, yet he cheweth not the cud, he also is unclean to you. Of their flesh shall ye not eat, of their carcass shall you not touch. They are unclean unto you. So understanding this, and we still have Jews in the land today, if you understand what kosher food is,
yeah.
There's certain foods that they will and will not eat. This is all according to commandments that God had gave them in the book of Leviticus. So when Peter was seeing this vision, he's saying, well, you know, Lord, those animals are unclean. You know, I'm not supposed to deal with those. I'm not supposed to touch those. Understand that up until this point, Gentiles were seen as unclean.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Gentiles being anyone other than Jews. So we were looked at and saw, said to be likened to dogs, if you will.
Yeah.
We had no access to God up until this point as Gentiles. If we could, and then I'll just reference to, I do believe it's the 10th chapter of John, Jesus spoke about sheep of another fold.
Yeah.
He had sheep of another fold.
Yeah.
It was not our time to be grafted in at that time also. So a lot of people have a hard time looking at and understanding that Gentiles were looked down upon. And if I could further validate that, in the 11th chapter of Romans, Paul is dealing with Gentiles. He's telling us not to boast.
Yes. Right?
Because we were grafted in,
yeah.
If you would. Now, if you understand grafting, if I could take it in a natural sense, if you were to get third-degree burns maybe on your arm, sometimes the doctors may take skin from your leg and graft it in onto your arm, which
right.
means that skin was not naturally there.
Right.
It's not supposed to be there, but they grafted it in.
Right.
You have to understand the reason we were grafted in is because the unbelief, of the Jews. So this is why Peter's having a hard time with this. He saw the vision. he understood it, but he was doubting in his mind, you know, Lord, you're talking about letting the Gentiles in. But this was prophesied. Also, Isaiah, I want to say it's the 56th chapter. Let me turn it real quick, and I'll turn it back over to Minister Fountain. Isaiah 56.
Yeah, Isaiah definitely prophesied that he was going to be a light unto the Gentiles.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, talking about Jesus.
It talked about, and I'll reference this here when it comes to my mind, it referenced gathering the children of Israel together, but then it said, others also do I have. So even Isaiah prophesied about the gathering of the Gentiles together.
Right. Then also in the book of Ephesians, while we're there, wherefore remember Ephesians 2 and 11, that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, and from having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh or near by the blood of Christ.
By the blood of Christ.
Yes, so Peter didn't. And then also when Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, he didn't realize what God had said, this one verse.
Yes.
For the promises unto you, talking about the Jews, mm-hmm. to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So we were included in his message.
And in the first chapter of Acts, when he says go in preaching in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and in Samaria and into the uttermost part of the earth, that was also talking about Gentiles right there, because Gentiles made up the entire earth. They were thinking in a Jewish mentality because of the dispersion of the Jews throughout the Mediterranean world. That's what they were thinking, but he was speaking in the sense of reaching us in Belleville, reaching those in Russia, reaching those in Australia, reaching those in Africa. The uttermost part of the earth was where the gospel was supposed to go, all over this earth.
Yeah.
And I believe that's what the sheet was when it was pulled up by the four corners, that it was to reach all the four directions that the earth goes, north, south, east, and west.
Yeah,
amen.
And that is where the gospel was to reach, and it was covering the entire earth. Amen?
Amen.
And God wanted to cleanse these people.
Mm-hmm.
It, no matter what Peter doubted, no matter what Peter thought, no matter what anybody else thought, God wanted to cleanse these people. And we'll see who was Peter to withstand God.
Amen. Right. And it's a good thing that the brother, although he did not fully agree with it or he did not fully understand it at the time, he was still obedient, as
yes.
we'll read on. And if I could, because I don't want to leave you out there in space, that scripture comes from Isaiah 56 and 8. It says, the Lord God will gather the outcasts of Israel, saith, yet will I gather others to him besides those that are gathered unto him. So here Isaiah is making reference to gathering those that are not of Israel, which are outsiders, which are Gentiles, also to himself. So we're seeing prophecies being fulfilled. Amen.
Yes, and then also I want to make one more point, since he made mention about the 11th chapter of Romans, because a lot of times people say, gifts and callings come without repenting, but they're not even saying the scripture right. Romans 11 and 29 says, for the gifts and callings of God are without repentance.
Yes.
So the subject in the 11th chapter of Romans is Israel,
mm-hmm.
and the issue is God is not going to change his mind about Israel.
Yes.
He bought us in, the foreknowledge of God was going to bring us in.
Yeah.
So God got it all in his word. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world. His foreknowledge.
Yes, amen.
So we're all, he died, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile, you are mankind.
And
you're human.
Well, we'll talk about that in a little bit, because
that
is one thing that Peter discusses in his sermon.
Yeah.
But I want to ask, Cornelius was centered in Caesarea. Why did he not go? Because Philip was stationed in Caesarea.
Mm-hmm.
That is where he made his home. That is where his ministry came out of. Why didn't he go get Philip instead of Peter.
Because Peter was the man that had the key.
Amen.
Just like they did in Samaria. They said they sent for Peter and John for when they came, they might lay hands on them, that they would lay hands on them, that they might receive the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Then we go back in the book of Matthew 16 and 18 when Jesus said, I say unto thee, thou art Peter.
Yes.
And upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against thee. And when I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in earth. Whatever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And that means exactly what it says.
Amen.
Peter was the man that had the power and authority.
Yes.
Not some keys that you jingle, but he had the power and he had the authority.
Amen. And he, just as a side note, he was not that rock that the church was built
no.
upon. Jesus Christ was the rock that,
yes.
that the church was built upon. The revelation that Jesus was the Christ
yes.
was the rock that his church shall be built upon. It was not Peter, as some others believe,
yes.
that in Rome is where Peter's buried and that his church is built upon that. That is not true at all.
No, because God's holy mountain is in Jerusalem.
Yes, yes.
Like I said, Jerusalem. Not Rome. And so that is a lie. And Peter was not no from no Catholic church. Peter and them had already died. Peter had been crucified. All the other apostles had been crucified before that Catholic church started.
Yes. And and also as a side note, that as important as Jerusalem is, especially in this day, as soon as the apostles, because the only ones that stuck around in Jerusalem after the disbursement, after Paul was wrecking havoc in the church, was the apostles. They were the only ones that stayed around in Jerusalem. And once all the apostles were gone, that is when Jerusalem got destroyed. So it's interesting to note, as important as Jerusalem is or was or it still will be, as soon as the apostles left, God left that city.
Yes.
And it has been fought over ever since that day.
Yes. Yes. And it's so important. You don't kiss no man's hand. You don't fall down at no man's feet. And we're going to see here as we go on. And then we also, there's other scriptures where even John, the apostle, fell down at the angel's feet
mm-hmm.
twice. He said, see, thou doest not. I'm your fellow brother. And he said, of the prophets, he said, worship God. And I've seen this certain individual kept falling at this pastor's feet. He never told her to get up. I really didn't even think about it. I think back in retrospect, he should have had the gall to tell this person to stand up and worship God.
Amen.
So we've seen all kinds of things that are going on nowadays.
And going right along that, right in this story, when in the 25th verse,
yes.
and as Peter came in unto Cornelius' house, Cornelius met him and fell down in his feet and worshipped him. But it says in the 26th verse, but Peter took him up, said, stand up, I myself also am a man.
Yes.
So there's no point in worshiping men. Men are not to be worshipped. God is to be worshipped.
Yes.
And if you do anything besides what this word tells you to do, and to worship God, you are doing the wrong thing. So you may say, well, why did they fall down at Jesus' feet and worship him? Because they were worshiping the God inside of Jesus. Amen.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
weren't worshiping the man. They were worshiping the God
yeah.
that was inside of them. Amen.
Yes. Yes. And so in verse 24 here, and on the morrow as they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and he called together his kinsmen and near friends.
Mm-hmm.
And so it should be, and this is, he hadn't even got saved yet. He called them together. Look how this all works. So most of the time, people, they get saved, and then they go tell somebody else.
Yes.
This man, they knew what kind of man that he was. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him, fell down at his feet, and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, stand up, I myself also am a man. And he talked with him. He went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, you know, that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean.
Before we talk about the Peter's coming into this contact with the Gentiles, look at how they came together to hear the man of God. When the man of God came into a city or into a household, it was a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's kind of lost its brevity in this day, that when the man of God comes to town, you should be going to hear the man of God.
Yeah.
And they wanted to hear from God, because that was the spokesperson for God was that man. And if you didn't hear it from Peter, you weren't going to hear it from anybody. So they had to all come, the near friends, and there were many that were gathered together just to hear this one man. But he wasn't preaching of himself. He wasn't preaching any sort of blessings and throwing oil or soap or any of that other crazy stuff. He was preaching about Jesus the Christ and talking about the death, burial, and resurrection. And that was what they came to hear. They came to hear God. They came to hear his word. They came to hear how they can move on within God.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's so important. See, nowadays, we got just like people are just, they're coming, talking about a blessing, a plan, talking about sowing the seed and all of that. But it's important to get your soul saved. Ain't no about no sowing no seed and sowing to this ministry and send your tithes here and television preacher, television pastor and all of that. But you better, these people better be telling people what the Lord said to do about salvation for their soul, or the blood of Jesus is going to be on their hands for that soul that they deceived. You got to tell people what's right. And see, this is what they did. They didn't have what we have, the scriptures to look at, as we have the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and we have the writer, the Acts of the Apostles, then we have all the letters. They didn't have that. They preached them out of the law. They preached them out of the prophets. They preached him out of the Psalms. So truly, they preached Jesus. And Peter knew that, and God always works on both ends. God was working with this man, Cornelius, telling him to send for a man, talking about Peter. He's dwelling, and you got two Simon here, Simon the Tanner and Simon, whose surname is Peter. And Simon Peter was dwelling with Simon the Tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He was the one that he is God's man or God's spokesman. He said when he comes, he's going to tell you what you ought us to do. Now, the angel know what he should do, but that's not how God works. God is a man of order. And God gave Peter the keys. God gave Peter, Simon Peter, the power and the authority. And so God is not going to overrule his man. What he, the word that he already set up, he's going to honor his word, knowing that God is a God of order. So we go on here. He said that God showed him that he thought it was an unlawful thing for a man to keep, a Jew to keep company or to come in under one of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore, for what intent have ye sent for me? So listen to Peter saying. And so Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. That was the angel, what he's talking about. That was the Lord, the messenger of the Lord. And said, Cornelius, thy prayers heard, thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of Simon the Tanner by the seaside, who when he cometh shall speak unto thee. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. He's telling Peter, now therefore we are all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. So look at the reverence that he's given unto Peter.
Yes, amen.
And if I could just say it again, he said that they came to hear all things that are commanded be of God. So this brother even understood that in order to hear from God, he had to hear it through a man. And another thing that I want to bring out is we have to understand, not only did God do this because the door had to be open to the Gentiles, but he used Cornelius. This brother, it said he prayed all the time. Now, the interesting thing that I like, is the fact that several times he says that his prayers and his alms came up in a remembrance in the sight of God. And, you know, I was having a discussion with a friend of mine about does God hear the prayers of sinners? Well, we know up until this point, all the good that Cornelius did, he was not yet saved, but God was hearing his prayers. Now, as good as a man as he was, God wanted him to receive a fullness, if you will, of the salvation. So understand it. It doesn't matter what age you are in life. There can come a point in time where God wants to give you access to the fullness of salvation, if you will. You can't come to this point in your mind where you say, well, you know, I'm 40, 50, 60 years old. I've been going to church all my life. I've been reading my Bible my whole life. You can't tell me that I don't have everything of God. If you truly were called before the foundation of the world, God is going to make a way for you to fully gain access to salvation. So I think that's an interesting thing about Cornelius's life is, as good as a man as he was, God saw that he needed more. He answered his prayer, but he answered it through a man. So understand, and we've said this before, that if you want to hear from God in these days, that you have to hear from a man. And Cornelius knew this. So we are here, and we're getting ready to have this sermon by Peter, starting at the 34th verse. And it says, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respect of persons. So now he's, you know, Peter's coming to the understanding, okay, well, God is not just going to be the God of Israel. He's not just going to be the God of the Jews. Now I'm understanding that this gospel, that this message is to be given to all mankind.
Yeah.
And he goes on to say in the 35th verse, but in every nation, he that fears him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Verse number 36, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word I say ye know, which was published throughout all of Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. So this is added on to, or this is an addition to what John preached.
Yeah.
That, and that, again, is showing you that up until that point, John's baptism was truth.
Yeah.
But more truth came after that.
Yeah.
So we have to understand that you may have, everything you may have is truth up until this point. And I can speak maybe up until the Holy Ghost, but you have to understand that if you don't have all of it, if you don't have the fullness of it, that there's more needed.
It was prophesied John was just to be the forerunner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He was to be the forerunner of he that was to come. So to just stop at John, that means you stop him before he who came was to come. So if you stop in, then you didn't go all the way. John was just the beginning of this.
Mm-hmm.
Because they did not get a word from God since the days of Malachi, which I believe was about 400 years. So when John came on the scene, he brought a whole, he was just starting, he was just making the pathway. It's prophesied in Isaiah, and it's prophesied also in Malachi, that the forerunner shall make the way, shall prepare the way for the Lord.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the Lord would come after that and would bring salvation unto his people.
Yeah.
I believe Elder Cannon has the scripture.
Yeah, yeah, the voice of him that quieth in the wilderness,
yes.
Prepare ye the way of the Lord,
yes.
Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And he goes on to say, every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed,
yes.
And all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. So we know that's the prophecy of John the baptizer.
Yeah.
Because he baptized with the baptism of repentance.
Yeah.
So that was true and, up until that point.
And up until Jesus Christ was baptized, because that was John's purpose, was to baptize Jesus Christ. And once Jesus Christ was baptized, John's ministry was to end.
Yeah.
But John kept on going on baptizing because he still doubted in his mind. Up until the day he died, he was sending disciples back asking Christ, was he the one?
Yeah.
And John's ministry was to decrease, was to end, as the Son of Man's ministry was to increase.
Yeah.
So to stop at a certain point, if there's something more for you, you got to keep on going with it, or you don't have truth, because all truth is only truth in the present tense.
Amen.
If you have past truth, you don't have truth. And if you go into the future and try to take a truth from there, you don't have truth. You have to be in the present to get truth. Amen?
Yes, yes. And I want a guest call-in number, because there may be those on Facebook who are listening. Our guest call-in number is 646-716-6566. That's 646-716-6566. And also, you can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. That's truthministry5525@att.net. So, yeah, so we thank God that we're moving on in the Word here, and that's the same way it is. And you got to realize, like, either you have it or you don't. There's more for you. And people out there drinking and carrying on, they're not just stopping. They're just going on farther. Try this, try that, try this. So we got to do what the Word of God tells us to do.
Yes.
No one in their right mind wants to be lost.
Amen. And if I could, I don't want to fast forward too far, but just to add on and to verify what we're saying, in the 19th chapter of Acts, we actually see where there's a group of disciples of John that up until that point they thought that they had it all. And I guess I should turn there. Like, I don't want to get too far ahead, but just to make mention of it, the question was asked, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And their answer was, we have not so much heard whether there be a Holy Ghost. And then he asked them, unto what were you baptized? And they said unto him, John's baptism. So here Paul encountered some of the disciples of John, but the problem here was not their disobedience or not their unbelief, but they had not heard of the Holy Ghost. So
yeah,
they hadn't heard anything after the baptism of John. So there's still a lot of people in the land today. It took me, I wasn't until I was 20, 25, 26 years old that I heard of this way. So there is still people in the
Amen.
Land that may not have heard that they should be baptized in
Amen.
Jesus' name or be filled with the Holy Ghost. So that is another reason that the preaching of the gospel has to continue to go forth, because there could be people like Cornelius that believe in God and fear God with all their heart, but they just have not come into the full knowledge of the gospel. Amen?
Yes,
Amen.
And that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's a lot of people preaching, think they're preaching, and about Jesus. They don't even know about the apostles' doctrine. They know nothing about it at all.
Amen.
Just like these people. You'd be surprised. Some people have not heard of the apostolic doctrine or the apostles' doctrine.
And when I make mention of it in this day, when I make mention of what type of church that I go to, I 9 times out of 10 I get a confused look of what is that.
Mm-hmm.
And even I did not step foot into a church until I was about the age of 12 or 13. Outside of weddings and funerals and such, but I've never stepped into a church, so I never had heard of this way until it was revealed unto me, and until I stepped foot inside an apostolic church, and even then I didn't have a full understanding. But there's many out there that have never heard of this way, that have never been exposed to this way, and that is what we're trying to do on this show, is to broaden and reach out the gospel to every soul that may hear, that may want to listen, that souls may be saved. Amen?
Yes,
Amen.
Yes, because there's a lot of people that, as we have said in weeks past, they went, but they weren't sent.
Yeah.
And then the Bible says that Apostle Paul said, we then are ambassadors for Christ, though God did beseech you by us, be you reconciled to God. An ambassador represents a foreign country, another country, but he's got to know the country that he's an ambassador for. He's not going in his own mind, but he's going on in the. He got to know the laws and everything that he's from the country that he's representing. What they are all about.
Yeah.
And he's not representing himself. So it is with us. We're not representing ourselves,
mm-hmm.
but we're witnesses, like the Lord has witnessed. And the Bible said that he's never left himself without witness.
Yeah.
We know that his word is witness. And so you can't talk about the Holy Ghost speaking with other tongues if you don't have it. You can't be telling people you don't need it. No, you don't have it. You don't know what you're talking about. And you haven't been born again. You can't see the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God don't come by observation. You got to be born again to talk about the kingdom of God. There's many people that's been the theologians that's been to school don't know anything about the born again experience.
Mm-hmm.
And even like Jesus said of Nicodemus, he said, "Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things?" So you got to be born again to know what we're trying to tell you about.
Amen. Romans 10 and 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And some of us will stop right there, but you have to continue on.
Yeah.
"How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? But how can you believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." And that is very powerful, because, number one, in order to believe in him, in order to call upon his name, you have to know who he is.
Yeah.
But how are you going to know who he is except some man preach you? Or as the Ethiopian eunuch said, when Philip asked him, "Understandest what thou readest?" He said, "How can I except some man guide me?"
Yeah.
But that man that guides you, or that man preaches, he must be sent.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
And if he has been called by God, and if he has been sent, he's going to preach the same message that the apostles are preaching. So understand that we as apostolics, we're not preaching some new thing. You can trace our origin back to the day of Pentecost.
Amen.
And I don't want us to be called Pentecostals. We know that was a day. But you can trace us back to the day of Pentecost,
yeah.
not back to some man some 100 or 200 years ago.
And, yeah. and every man in the Bible was sent. Peter, the disciples were sent back to the upper room
mm-hmm.
on the day of Pentecost. Mm-hmm. They were sent there. Peter was sent. Philip was sent to the Samaritan.
Yes.
And he had to send for Peter.
Amen.
And now we see that Peter was sent to Cornelius. Paul and Barnabas were sent on their missionary journeys. So every time that ministry started forth, that the minister, the preacher, had to be sent.
Yes, and then the inception of this ministry was in Jerusalem, just like Jesus told them to go to the city of Jerusalem and to wait until they be endued with power from on high.
Yes, yes.
That is exactly what they did. So that's where you can trace it from, is you got to be connected to them,
mm-hmm.
to their doctrine, to their teaching, just like we were said about Israel, about they said, "Teach it to thy sons and thy sons' sons." And Apostle Paul said, "The things that you have heard of me among many witnesses," he said, "commit thou unto faithful men who shall be able to teach others."
Mm.
Yeah, so we're saying what the word of the Lord say. And so we're going to have to pick back up on next week, because our time is gone for this time of this week. And so we're going to be picking up on next week. Thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this ministry, this word, has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory.